the daily racing podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and a very warm welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. You join us on Friday's edition of the podcast where we're looking ahead to the action at Leicester and Sandown. We've also got jumps racing to come in the afternoon from Ayr, and we're on the Tapita in the evening at Newcastle. Also, all weather racing from across the Irish Sea at Dundalk on the Polytrack there. Racing Radio is live from 1:50pm with Gareth Topham, Craig Forsyth and Sean Quinn in the studio on Friday afternoon. But ahead of all the action, joining myself, Sam Norris, is Mr. Chris Pimlott. How are you, Pimmers?
I'm very well indeed, Sam. How are you?
Very good, thank you. Yep, not too far away from the big one now, Pimus. Five days away.
Oh, counting down, aren't we? Those nights are just getting a little bit more sleepless, just getting a little bit edgy now, and looking for that tape to go up at 1:30 on Tuesday afternoon to start of another fantastic festival ahead. 4 days of top-class racing, and, it's all to come. But again, as it gets ever so closer, I just fear for the well-being of the jockeys, because you don't not want to get to the Cheltenham Festival. If you get to Cheltenham Festival as a jockey and you get injured there, fair play.
Yeah.
But, you know, as we've seen in the past, Stratford can take its own casualties. Dougie Costello, Jason Maguire have got injured there the day before the festival. So, again, it's all about a little bit of safety first for these guys to get there in one piece. And obviously, for all the horses, every time they go out on those gallops now and do the final little piece of work, or travelling over from Ireland, you know, that sort of thing, you still got that chance that there could be some injuries to be picked up along the way. So it's fairly anxious times between now and Tuesday, that's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. All the stars will be very much wrapped up in cotton wool, be they equine or otherwise. Are you making your way to Prestbury Park for any of the action, Pimmers?
Unfortunately not, no, I'm not. This is the second year running that I haven't been, having been there for maybe the previous 30-odd years. Mm. So, I'm giving it a little bit of a break, and certainly be very closely watching it at home, listening to William Hill Racing Radio, obviously.
Yes.
Along the way. And
are you going to be in here on the Wednesday or Thursday?
On the Thursday I am, yeah. Yeah, yeah, and on the Wednesday I'm having my very own hospitality.
All right.
At home.
At Shea Pimlott.
Shea Pimlott, so got a lot of guests coming.
Blimey, I can imagine that's a very, very exclusive
lunch.
List.
We're going to have a few little tipping competitions, and we're going to enjoy Cheltenham as if we were there.
Good stuff.
At half the price.
Exactly. It's also, Pimmers, as we mentioned, jockeys, 40 years to the day since you rode your first winner.
God, blimey. It's me Ruby anniversary, isn't it?
Indeed. I'm very reliably informed by Stephen Powell.
Yeah.
It's 40 years to the day. Do you remember it?
Remember it like it was yesterday, to
really?
Be fair. I can't remember what I did yesterday, but I can definitely remember what 40 years ago. Horse called Ragamuffin. He was trained by Gordon Richards. He carried Gordon Richards' colours, which were blue, white epaulets, white cap. The horse was called Ragamuffin. I rode him to win after that. I think it was at Teesside Park or somewhere like that.
Right.
He won by a long way. It was a selling hurdle. And as I'm coming into the winner's enclosure, Gordon Richards said to me, "Come on, son, you get a got off him. He's lame."
Right.
You see, because obviously he was going to be put up for auction.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And what he did, he promptly put a stone in the horse's hoof.
Really?
So that the horse looked a little bit lame. So nobody at the auction was going to bid for him.
So he got it straight back.
So no bid, obviously.
Shady proceedings
lame.
There.
Yeah. And the horse that was second was called Remook's Queen. Tommy Stack rode it.
Right.
So obviously, you know, beating him was something. But I mean, he won by miles, to be fair, despite me. And I think that was trained by Bill Marshall, who later went on to train in Barbados at Garrison Savannah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Blimey.
So there you go, 40 years ago.
Absolutely.
What I can't understand is how I rode a winner when I was only four.
Four, well, exactly, yeah.
You know what I mean? Don't know how that works.
You're a man of incredible talents.
Indeedy,
Yes, unbelievable talents. Looking ahead to this year's festival, then, Pims, we'll just tackle a little bit of the news. This broke yesterday afternoon regarding Rich Ritchie's runners in the Mayor's Hurdle. Limini, who was touted for the Champion Hurdle and was a 6-1 chance, hasn't been supplemented for the feature on the first day. And Rich Ritchie has said that Vroom Vroom Mag and Limini may well clash in the Mayor's Hurdle. The betting currently has Limini as the 5-4 favourite. Vroom Vroom Mag is 6-4. 5-2 Apples Jade. Jersey Girl and Let's Dance are 8-1. 12s and bigger the rest. Vroom Vroom Mag has got, I think, 6 entries for the festival, Pimmer, so still up in the air as to where she actually goes. Looks as though this is the target for Limini. It wouldn't be common for Rich Ritchie to run his superstars against each other. Are you expecting that pair both to line up in the same race?
No. I'd be very surprised if they take each other on, to be perfectly honest. I mean, to be fair, Limini's performance was very good when she beat Apple Jade last time out. That was her first run for quite some time. She's sure to progress for that. And Vroom Vroom Vag, well, her record speaks for itself, doesn't it? So, you know, two high-class mares. Personally, I don't see there's anything to be gained by taking each other on.
Yes, correct.
There's opportunities out there for both horses to be able to win the respective races. The only slight concern that I'm a little bit in the back of mind is everything okay with both of them?
Right, okay.
That might be why they're hedging the bets a little bit. As we like to say in Yorkshire, there could be a duck in the edge there, young fella.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I'd just tread carefully there.
Okay.
Tread carefully. But I can understand again why they've taken Limini out, because, to be fair, it more like was a tall order to put in the Champion Hurdle.
Okay. If you were Rich Ritchie, and where would
I'd be in a bar in Barbados.
Yeah.
Getting ready for the festival over there. Getting a bit of a tan, ready to come over, you know.
Susanna be with you? Or would she be looking after the horses here?
Well, I don't think she looks after the horses, young fella.
Well, no. Looking after the running of things.
I don't know. I think I'd just go on my own.
Would you just go on your own?
Yeah.
If you were Rich Ritchie, though, where would you send Vroom Vroom Mag, given that she can jump timber, fences, 2 miles, 3 miles? She's very, very versatile. There are loads of options open to her.
Yeah, and I think that's why, because she's so versatile, they're working the others round her.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
Some of the others are a bit more one trick, where she's got plenty of tricks up her sleeve. So she can be negotiated where the others would slot into place for, if you understand. So I think she's like the one that they can juggle.
The utility player.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, yes. She could be placed in a number of opportunities where she'd be good enough to get the job done, whereas one or two of the others are not quite as versatile.
Yeah. She plugs the gaps almost, doesn't she?
Oh, very much so, yeah.
Where there is...
Yeah, you'd like to have one like her to plug the gaps, wouldn't you? Very nice too.
You would, yeah. Absolutely. Limini then 5-4 for the Mayor's Hurdle. Vroom Vroom Mag is 6-4. Apples Jade 5-2. 8-1 and bigger for the rest of them. So no Limini in the Champion Hurdle on Tuesday, the opening day of the festival. The feature race of the opening day will not feature Limini. Anything else on your mind, Pimmers, then, before we move on to Friday's race?
No, just as I say, looking forward to the opening day and the 4 days of the festival, and hoping that everybody gets there safe and sound, and we're going to see some fantastic racing ahead of us, aren't we? Can't wait.
Certainly are. Let's move on to matters closer at hand then. We delve into some of Friday's action now. We've got one from Leicester and three from Sandown to bring you on today's edition of the podcast. We begin with Leicester's 255. This is a handicap chase, a Class 3 event over 2.5 miles. Just shy of $8,000 goes to the winner. We've got a field of five that line up to contest this one, Pimmers. And all eyes will be on the top weight, who shoulders a penalty but chases a hat-trick here for Tom George and Adrian Heskin.
Yeah, he does indeed. Been in great form as Tom George, and the combination of teaming up with Adrian Heskin has been very, very fruitful this year. They've really hit it off since he came back from his native island, Adrian Heskin. And this horse has won his last two and won them in good fashion. He won at Wincanton over 2.5 miles last time, Ballinvarig, and he beat Ulaine Butte by 5 lengths on that occasion. Only a 4-runner race, but he did it really well. I always think Ulaine Butte's a good yardstick as well, so I think definitely Ballinavari's going the right way. He set off his winning ways off 115. He went to 125 after that first success. He's now racing off a mark of 132 tomorrow, and he's got to give a little bit of weight away, but really they've had to run now, because once the handicap mark kicks in, he's going to be harder to place. So he's going the right way. Global Dawn was a course and distance winner here last time. He's gone up only £3 for that success then. So, again, possibly the handicapper not really taken by that performance. And Simply Wings is an interesting running for the Kerry Lee Yard, to be fair. Admittedly, 13 now. But he ran really well last time out when we saw him 37 days ago. That was behind Toblerone at Hereford. And again, could be a little bit more to come from him. 37 days off as well just gives him that little bit extra space between his first run of the season and his second. So he could be a player, but I think Balnavarig is the one certainly they've all got to beat.
Balnavarig then, the one to beat for Pimmers, but a favourable mention for Simply Wings for Kerry Lee nonetheless. We go over to Sandown then for three races there, beginning with the 305, which is the Grand Military Gold Cup. It's a Class 3 race over an extended 3-mile trip, £7,500 to the winner this time. Obviously, we've got the amateur servicemen in action on board them, Pimmers, and Raffling Rose for Guy Disney. They landed a race of this nature quite recently, and he made history by becoming the first amputee jockey to ever win a race under rules.
It was a wonderful story, that of Guy Disney's, having made that success last time out at Sandown Park. And again, you would love to see this horse double up after that famous victory. Again, it's a sort of race you need to be careful. You've got second Lieutenant Billy Aframain claiming seven. You've got Mr. CJD Rodenmog claiming seven. You've got Lieutenant Will Carlisle claiming seven. It's that sort of race. Shortest way up, longest way down, old chap. You know what I mean?
Correct.
And again, I would tread very carefully. The other horse I thought was interesting is Caesar Milan. We haven't seen him under rule since 2015, but obviously from the Paul Nichols yard. Don't know too much about his pyres, actually, Mr. J. Soul. But he claims three.
No, he claims three, though.
So he's had a bit more experience than one or two of the others. And again, after that, I find it difficult to really pin my colours to any mast, to be honest. It is what it is. It's the Royal Art, the Grand Military Gold Cup. And again, it's more about prestige for the servicemen than possibly the racehorses that are on show there tomorrow afternoon. But hopefully it'll be back-to-backs for Rattling Rose.
Okay, Rattling Rose then gets the nod in the 305 race at Sandown. We stay at Sandown then. 35 minutes later comes a handicap hurdle over 2 miles and 5 furlongs for the 3-4. So you've got a field of 9 that go to post for this one. What did you make of them, Pimmers? You've got sort of most of the field arriving here in pretty good nick, but a couple who failed to complete last time out as well.
Yeah, I think Goodbye Dancer and Night of Noir, you can forget about them tomorrow afternoon. That's two Aussie answer. But of the others, some of them coming to the race in cracking form. Fly Camp's done nothing wrong for Nicky Henderson and Nico de Bonville. He won off a mark of 128 last time, up 5-1, 3-3 tomorrow afternoon. You've got Chamagrie, I think that's it, French pronunciation for the David Pipe runner, who ran well enough in defeat. Cafe Adventure, a novice winner at Fontwell last time out, but a very, very impressive winner, to say the least, and steps into handicap company tomorrow for the first time off a mark of 123. Could be an awful lot more to come from that one. Billy Bronco was a readied winner too last time out. That was up at Ayr in a 3-mile maiden on heavy ground. So whether 2-mile 5 is a little bit sharp for him remains to be seen. And Midnight Sapphire has been knocking on the door for Victor Dartnell without quite getting there, and was 8 lengths second behind at Nordic Nymph at Kempton last time over, again, 3 miles. So stepping back in trip for Midnight Sapphire. So competitive little race, but I think there could be an awful lot more to become with Cafe Adventure.
Cafe Adventure then gets the nod for Philip Hobbs and Richard Johnson in that 3:40 at Sandown. One more race to bring you then on the podcast. This is Sandown's 4:15, which is a handicap chase over just shy of 2 miles. We've got 6 runners who go to post for this one. Who's on your mind, Pimmers?
Oh, again, very competitive this, and they all come to the race having run reasonably well last time out. Rock on Rock, he's an interesting one. He's gone from 110 to 114 to 123 tomorrow afternoon, but he is certainly going the right way. Artifice Savola ran well enough in defeat last time out when finishing second behind Overtown Express. That was at Warwick over 2 miles, so he's certainly a player. And Balfour Gunner finished fourth at Catterick behind Erin Eyre. Again, not beaten too far, only 11 lengths. Wanga De Guy finished second behind Pistol Park at Newcastle. Again, that was on the heavy ground back in February. And the other one, Helium, I know he's a 12-year-old now, but he didn't run too badly behind Grand Fissile at Lingfield last time out as well. So, yeah, in the context of this race, they're coming into it in good form, most of them. But I'm just going to hopefully go for Artifice Savola, who, again, has won off a mark not too far away from this in the distant past. So that'll do for me for Lucy Wadham and Paddy. No, Paddy, that's our man, isn't it?
It is indeed. Leighton Aspel.
Big brother.
Leighton Asper then taking the ride for Lucy Wadham on board Artifice Civilla, who is Plymouth's selection in that 4:15. Just give us a quick recap then, please, if you'd be so kind, Chris, of your four selections on Friday afternoon.
Yeah, going to Leicester for their 2:55, going to go in the shape of Ballinvarig in the Grand Military Gold Cup. Not very original, I'm afraid, but I'm going to go for the favourite, Rattling Rose, to put back-to-back wins in the hands of Mr. Guy Disney. In the 3:40 in the handicap hurdle, Cafe Adventure for Philip Hobbs and Richard Johnson. And in that 4:15, the Six Nations Rugby Handicap Chase, we're going to go for Artifice Savola.
Thank you very much. There we are, thoughts of Chris Pimlott, head of Friday's action. Remember to tune in to William Hill Racing Radio from 1:50pm on Friday afternoon, where Gareth Topham, Craig Forsyth and Sean Quinn will guide you through all of the racing at Leicester, Sandown and Ayr in the afternoon. Then into the evening, we've got racing at Newcastle and Dundalk on the all-weather. Thank you very much for that, Pimmers. Enjoy the festival and enjoy the action on Friday.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.